Turn with me, if you would, to a couple of different passages in the New Testament, Luke chapter 23. That's where we're going to read in just a moment, but Luke chapter number 23. And then also in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. So Luke chapter 23 is what we'll read when we stand in just a moment. Isaiah 53 we'll be reading in a few minutes, so you'll find those two spots. I love that song, Then Came the Morning. My favorite singer, my favorite Southern gospel singer of all time, that was one of his best songs to sing. And Glenn Payne used to sing with the Cathedrals. And man, just a powerful, powerful voice. But what a powerful message. And I love that message of that song. All right, Luke chapter number 23 and Isaiah 53. So let's stand together if you're physically able in honor of the reading of God's word. And we'll read a few verses here. And then we'll pray and be seated. All right, in Luke chapter 23, the Bible says this, beginning in verse number 32, and there were also two other malefactors, and that is a criminal that's facing capital punishment, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Did anyone see the article this week? I don't have TV, and I got off social media about 6 months ago. Been the most peaceful days of my life. But I have Fox News app and then NBC app, Channel 5 in Dallas. Did anyone see the article that showed that just back in, I think it was 1958, that the skyscrapers in New York City depicted the three crosses? That's how far our nation has come in the last, but how far downward it's gone in the last 60 years. You can barely even say the name of Jesus in public anymore. All right, so the Bible says, then said Jesus in verse number 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So this is the middle of the day. It goes dark. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And I want to preach this morning on this question, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And I hope that you can say that he's my personal Savior. And if not, I pray that before you leave here this morning, you could say Jesus is my personal Savior. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time together in your word? I pray to be challenging, convicting. I pray to be encouraging to those that are saved. And Lord, we ask you to bless our two children's churches this morning and do a work in those kids' hearts. Lord, I pray that all of us would remember what today is all about, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. Bless today this message, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Ever since man fell in the Garden of Eden, man has looked for and needed a Savior. In Genesis chapter 3, just after the fall of man there in the garden, just after sin had entered into the world, God promised the seed of woman, which was what it's speaking of there in Genesis 3, was the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah said that a Savior would one day appear. And I want you to see Isaiah 53. I asked you to turn there. It's a short chapter of 12 verses, but Isaiah 53, this is hundreds of years before Jesus was actually born on this earth. Of course, we know that Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh, and so he's from everlasting to everlasting. And but Isaiah 53, a prophet, long before the birth and so long before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, Isaiah 53 describes Christ coming to earth. It describes Christ dying for our sins on the cross. The Bible says this in Isaiah 53 and verse number 1, who hath believed our report? And if you're here today and you're not confident that heaven is your future home, all I'm asking you to do this morning is believe my report. Believe what I give you straight from the Word of God. The prophet said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, I don't have time to get into every detail of Christ and the his life and all of those things, but I will pause and say this: no one on this earth has a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? He is certainly not some long-haired, weak-looking guy with a glow around his head that the Catholics would portray. I had a Catholic grandmother, and she had that picture there. No one has a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if they did, he would be a regular Hebrew man from the Middle East over there, and the Bible says he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him, all right? If I could just interject here, like I told one of the teenage boys earlier, I've never seen a good-looking man, all right? Can we all say amen, except you ladies, all right? My wife should say, I have, but the rest of us, all right? So it goes on to say, he is despised. It's a picture of Christ. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. We put no value in who he was and what he did for us. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Now, Christians, remember this, and those that are lost, remember this, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He died for us. He took our place on the cross of Calvary. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The New Testament says that Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So in Christ, his blood covers my sins, and I become righteous and justified in the eyes of God. And that's the way I get to heaven, is by trusting the price Jesus paid, the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. It says he was taken, he was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah God. It pleased God to send his son to die on the cross. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He bore our iniquities, our sin on the cross. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great. You cannot divide a portion with someone who's already dead. He's a risen Savior. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. All right, so in Genesis chapter 3, We see in Genesis 3, God promising the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of woman. In, as we go through the prophetical books, we see the prophets speaking of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Of course, hundreds of years later, there in Bethlehem, Jesus was born. The Bible says in Luke 2 and verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So we see, as we come into the Gospels, we see the prophets and the message of the prophets coming true. Even the Pharisees in Jesus' day when he walked the face of the earth, even the Pharisees believed that the Christ, the Messiah, that's the anointed one, the chosen one, they believed that the chosen one would come. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, the son of David. All right, so they believed that that Christ was going to come. They believed the law and the prophets. They just didn't believe that Jesus, that they were looking at right there, was the Savior of the world, that he was the Christ, because he asked them, what do you think of Christ? And they should have said, well, we think you are the Christ. And they didn't say that. So they believed Christ would come. Lots of folks in that day believed that the Savior was coming. They just did not believe that Jesus was the Savior. There in John chapter 4, the woman at the well, listen to this this conversation between her and Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. And friend, listen, there are a lot of folks today worshiping, they know not what, because there is no real way to worship God outside of a personal relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. He said, ye worship, the hour is coming when, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. There's a lot of worship going on today in the flesh, in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Jesus is talking to this woman at the well. Jesus says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this lady, who did not realize she was looking at the Savior, she said this, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. I know Christ is coming. I know our Savior is coming. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. All right, one day Jesus stopped, and we're talking about who is this Jesus? One day Jesus stopped and he asked his own disciples there, those that were already following him. Basically, he asked them this, what is the word about me on the street? What are people saying about, who do they think that I am? In Matthew 16, the Bible says in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter had it correct. Peter said, you know, everyone believes, or it seems like everyone believes, that this Christ is coming one day, this Messiah is coming one day to die for the sins of the world. But what he said, what Peter said there was, we believe and we know of a truth that thou art the Christ. You are that Christ who was to come. John tells us this in his gospel. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Right, to be saved, you have to receive the facts that are in the Bible, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 4. If you're in your New Testament, it begins Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts. Turn to Acts chapter number 4, because now Before we go back to our text, now we're going to skip ahead beyond the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and beyond his ascension back up into heaven. Even after his death, even after his burial and resurrection, the devil continued to fight against the name of Jesus, okay? So all the way back in Genesis, God said, I'm going to send the seed of woman. I'm going to send a Savior. And you can find Christ throughout the Old Testament. And you get in the prophetical books, and the prophets are saying, hey, the desire of all nations shall come. He shall grow up before us as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. I mean, you cannot get away from Jesus being preached in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, when he was here and stood before those religious Pharisees, they said, we know that there is a Christ. We just don't believe you're the Christ. When he stood before that lady of Samaria there at the well, that Samaritan woman, she said, we know that Christ is coming. And he told her, you're looking at Christ. You're looking at the Savior. Well, even in after the post-resurrection, Jesus has gone back to heaven. You know what they're trying to do then? The same thing they're trying to do in 2023. Shut the name of Jesus down out of public, out of the preaching, out of the teaching. Look at Acts chapter 4 there, verse number 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. What a blessing. The number of them was about 5,000. So about 5,000 people got born again on that day. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name, have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people, and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, you can read that in chapter 3, the man that could not walk, and God healed him, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. By the way, before we die, we must be saved. We must be born again. And the only way to be born again is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth no more, no man in this name. That's the world we live in today. You can say God, you can say man upstairs, you can try to act religious, but buddy, if you mention the name of Jesus in a lot of places, it'll get you in trouble. And they called them, verse 18, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Even in our day, the devil wants to keep the name of Jesus out of the ears of the lost. How many times have you heard stories of people getting in trouble at work or at school or in government because they spoke the name of Jesus Christ? I said something in a message last week, and it was something about government. And this morning, Brother Cunningham texted me and said, "Preacher, we got a warning on our YouTube channel that we're giving false information and that they can shut us down." They have this system now where they can catch phrases and catch words and I mean, all it did was make a passing statement about presidents and stuff. And well, we had a warning. And friend, listen, I said, "Well, it won't be long before we get a warning that you can't say the name Jesus on our YouTube channel, or you can't type the name Jesus on Twitter." Now, you know, we 10, 15 years ago, we would have said, "Oh, it's coming, it's coming." Friend, it is here. This is not a Christian nation anymore. We can barely even get Christians to show up to church these days. But it was just a few years back that Marine Chaplain Wesley Motter, as he was walking up to the lectern to deliver a commencement address, his commanding officer, the commanding officer of the base, tapped him and said, "Hey, deep six the Jesus talk." What that means is dispose of the Jesus talk between this pew and before you get up to that lectern. We don't want to hear anything about Jesus. The chaplain was told, "Don't say the name Jesus." If you think speaking the name of Trump or Biden initiates negative comments and conversation, just try walking out of this building and mentioning the name Jesus as being the only way to heaven. Who is this Jesus? Look back at our text, if you would, there in Luke chapter number 23. It's amazing as I read through this passage this week that as you read through Luke 23, that you can tell that the lost world was trying hard to figure out who is this Jesus. Look at it with me there in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 1. "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king.'" Now, this is all lies. He never said any of that. He didn't come here to set up his kingdom. And he said, "Render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's." "And Pilate asked him, saying, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And he answered him and said, 'Thou sayest it.' Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, 'I find no fault in this man.' It was later that Pilate's the one who put the sign above the cross and said, 'This is the king of the Jews.'" But Pilate was trying to figure that out. Look at chapter 23. Look at verse number 35. Chapter 23, verse 35. "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God.'" They cannot figure out who is this Jesus. Look at verse number 36. "And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, 'If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself.'" They're all still wondering, who is this man we're crucifying? Who is this Jesus? Look at verse number 39. "One of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.'" The one that was lost and stayed lost and went to hell on that day, he's on the cross there with Christ saying, "I still can't figure out who is this Jesus." But praise the Lord that in Christ's death, the centurion, we're going to see it in a moment in verse 47, but the centurion, he possibly was the leader of all of the soldiers on that hill. It's quite possible that that centurion trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior on that day. The Bible says in verse 47, "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.'" You know, in Matthew and Mark's gospel, he's also recorded it as having said, "Truly this was the Son of God." So we start the chapter and one group saying, "Who is this? Are you the king?" Another group, "Is this the Christ?" Who is Jesus? And the centurion, I think he figured it out, fortunately, before he died. Who is this Jesus? Let me give you three answers this morning about who is this Jesus. Number one is this: he is the fulfiller of Scripture. He is the fulfiller of Scripture. I mentioned it earlier, but I'll mention it by way of a verse now. But the Old Testament law pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything they said in the Old Testament was pointing to Christ. And in the New Testament, it tells us that in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, our teacher, our guide to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Okay, so the Old Testament points to the Old Testament law pointed to Christ. The prophetical books pointed to Christ. Just an example in Micah 5 and verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, that is house of bread and fruit, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So the law pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophetical books pointed to towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Even some of the Psalms are known as Messianic Psalms. Psalm 22 is one of those. And as I read this, you'll hear some of the same things that took place in the Gospels at the crucifixion. Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22, 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusts on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. Psalm 22 verse 14, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. Verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet. Verse 17, I may tell all my bones. I could see bones. They didn't break a bone, but he was so ripped and torn. They could see bones. He could see his bones sticking out of his body. Verse 18, they part my garments among them. That happened there in the Gospels, but we're talking about way back in the Psalms. And I want you to know, when Jesus comes on the scene in the New Testament there, he is fulfilling Scripture. Many times in the New Testament, we read about Jesus doing something or saying something, or we read about something happening to Jesus, and then a statement like this is made, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. The word fulfilled means accomplished, performed, completed. Now, I'm thankful that he fulfilled Scripture and that he died for us on the cross of Calvary. And that he rose again, I'm thankful for that. But I tell you what excites me, I think maybe even more than that, now that I'm saved, is that he was the fulfiller of Scripture, but he still is the fulfiller of Scriptures that are yet to be fulfilled. Like John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Friend, I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus makes all things right, when Jesus steps out on the cloud. They may protest it, but they're not going to win. And they may try to take his name out of the news, but they're not going to win. Man, I'm looking forward to the day that he fulfills that Scripture. I'm looking forward to the day that this Scripture is fulfilled. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not, unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That hasn't been fulfilled yet, but I believe it's going to be. Done a lot of funerals over the years. I know what that passage is telling us. When someone who is saved dies, that old body is buried and becomes dust. But the Bible says the Spirit shall return unto the God who gave it. And friend, listen, the Spirit is us. It's who we are. Whether we're in whatever body doesn't matter. We're still who we are. And here recently I was watching a few videos about those soldiers that'll surprise their family, you know, at a graduation or at a whatever, and they've been out of country for a year. And man, I get a little teared up, you know, because the little cheerleader girl sees her dad hiding and she runs and hugs and she's bawling. And man, listen, those are wonderful. Those are great. But I think about that day when we hug the neck of those who have gone before us, we're going to see them again, because that's what the Bible says. But I got to warn you, there are no reunions in hell. In fact, the Bible records a fella in hell. God allowed a microphone to be put down in hell. And the guy says, tell my family, don't come here. You must be born again. But aren't you glad as a Christian? Yes, we're glad. He's a fulfiller of scriptures in that 2,000 years ago, he died on that cross of Calvary and paid our sin debt. And they put him in that tomb 3 days and three nights. And today and every day and every Sunday, we celebrate a resurrected Savior. But I love the fact, who is this Jesus? He is the fulfiller of scripture because he ain't done yet. And I believe with all my heart that God's going to step out on that cloud, those clouds one day, and he's going to call us home. You say, well, I don't understand that 1 Thessalonians 4. Well, it's actually quite simple. That soul and spirit went home to be with Jesus. That body went to the ground. But one day our body's going to be raised up, incorruptible, immortal. We're going to get a new body, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. But it also said, them that sleep in Christ will God bring with him. You can't bring something with you that's not already there. If your loved one has died in the Lord, they are in heaven today. Maybe in a temporary body, I don't know, and it does not matter. They're in heaven. They're not on this wicked earth. And friend, one of these days, we could be standing in the cemetery and maybe weeping over a loved one, and all of a sudden, whoop, that loved one comes right up out of that casket. That's all going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We'll be gone right with them. The Bible says we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. We don't even have to wait till we walk on the streets of glory to hug their neck, friend. We're going to meet up in the clouds and just go ahead and take that trip where NASA can't find. We're going to take that trip together. I believe this book. Who is this Jesus? He is the fulfiller of scripture. I want to say, secondly, this morning, who is this Jesus? He is the forgiver of sins. He is the forgiver of sins. Look in our text here in Luke 23. In verse number 39, and you know what happened here on the cross, but one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? He said, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. What this man was saying was, I know I'm a sinner. He said, you're talking to the Savior here. He's on this cross for no reason. This man hath done nothing amiss, nothing inappropriate. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. This is so simple, folks. If you're a member of Israel, this is so simple. Man has made this difficult. This man on the cross said, looked at the Lord and said, I mean, you talk about a deathbed getting right with God and getting saved. He said, I'll wait till then. Well, you don't know when then it's going to be. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Good works didn't save the thief on the cross. And good works still do not save anyone today. This thief on the cross had no time to go through all the catechisms, and catechisms still to this day do not give you a key to get into the gates of glory. Church attendance did not save the thief on the cross. He had no time to go to church. And while I think you ought to go to church and assemble together with God's people, going to church does not get you a ticket to heaven. Jesus didn't say, well, I'll tell you what, fella, we're going to have to get down off this cross. I'm going to have to baptize you. Because baptism did not save that man, had nothing to do with his salvation. And still today, baptism has nothing to do biblically with the salvation of a sinner. That thief on the cross entered paradise with Jesus that day because he received forgiveness of sins, the only way possible to receive forgiveness of sins, and that is from the forgiver of sins, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Colossians 1, I've used a lot of Bible today, but I just love the Bible. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, speaking of Jesus, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The word forgiven means pardon, remitted. It means released. It means free. It means not guilty. The day I got born again, friend, listen, that day I became not guilty in the eyes of God. The Bible says in Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, preacher, I believe that faith in Christ saves, but you've got to be faithful to church, and you've got to get rid of the sin in your life, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. Hey, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and God will begin to work in your heart, and there are things that will begin to change. But there is no Jesus plus anything. All religion today, you say there's so much out there. No, there's not. There are only two religions in this world, do and done. Period. Categorize everybody that tells you got to be this, you got to do that, you got to. That is do. You want biblical salvation, you won't be in heaven one day, you got to accept the fact it was done on the cross of Calvary. He's the forgiver of sins. Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and save your soul? Because he will. Let me give you the last one quickly, and that's this. Who is this Jesus? Well, number one, he is the fulfiller of Scripture, and he has fulfilled Scripture, and he still is going to fulfill Scripture. Secondly, he's the forgiver of sins, and I remember the day the Lord saved me, and I remember the day I trusted Christ as my Savior, asked him to forgive me of my sins, save my soul, and friend, all these years later, I'm still saved because I didn't do anything to get myself saved. I cannot get myself unsaved. According to the Bible, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You need to be sure that it's there. He's the fulfiller of Scripture. He's the forgiver of sin, and the last one is this. He is the face we soon shall see. He is the face we soon shall see. Now, friend, if the rapture takes place over the next few years, that's wonderful. That's grace. That's great. We're going to see the face of God. But even if the rapture were not to take place, because no man knows the hour, no man knows. Listen, there are some in here and you're getting on up there in age. And if just nature takes its course, you got more behind you than you got. Even at 48, I believe I've got far more behind me than I have ahead of me. So if you look at it in that light, you think, man, you know, there aren't a whole lot of people that live to be 90 years old, just to be honest with you. Think about where you are right now and think about how soon. Y'all do realize it's not a bad thing to die and go to heaven. Amen. We're going to reunite, but we get to see our Savior face to face. John 14:19 says this, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. He's telling his disciples, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. The Bible says this as it gives us a picture of heaven. Revelation 22, just listen. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. It goes on to say, that's Revelation 21. Revelation 22, it goes on to say, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. The Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 12 that now we see through a glass darkly. In other words, you go look through a window and you get a little reflection of yourself, but you're not seeing every detail. And we don't know 95% of the details of what heaven's going to be like. But I know this, the Bible says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And then it goes on to tell us, we shall know even as also we are known. I love that song, Face to Face, Oh Blissful Moment. Face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory I shall see him by and by. If I died today, I know that I would see my Savior face to face, because years ago in my life, I settled this question, who is this Jesus? Have you settled that question? Are you absolutely 100% sure that if today was your last day on earth, it would be your first day in heaven? Don't make it harder than it has to be. Don't let religion fool you. Let the Bible guide you. And the Bible says Jesus is the fulfiller of scriptures. Jesus is the forgiver of sins. If you get born again, Jesus is the face. You'll soon see. One more scripture says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That word acceptation means this, worthy of accepting. Now I want you to know it's worthy of accepting the truth of the gospel today. And I want you to know this, God loves you enough that he believes you're worthy of accepting into his family. You got to get it settled before it's too late.